Each and every weekday morning at this time. A presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
Very well, Jared. Good morning to you. Hello, Sean. Good
morning, Pierre.
All right, Pierre, let's start with your game because you were right there with, what, 9,000 fans in Vegas yesterday?
Baloney. Way more than that.
Oh, they're not keeping track or what?
I have no idea, but if that was only 9,000 people, then I don't know a lot of teams in the National Hockey League like to have that 9,000.
Yeah, that was a loud crowd, to be sure. It came right through my television. Cool. And so Cam Talbot, 42 saves and an early OT goal from Joel Eriksson-Ek. Tell us about how the Wild were able to pull off the upset.
Cam Talbot was really good in the first period, 19 shots he faced, and he was stellar in a lot of those saves. It was a great goalie battle. It was a great physical battle. Minnesota's had their number all year. They played 8 times this year. Minnesota won 5, lost 1 in regulation, and lost 2 in shootout end or extra time. So you look at it, Minnesota's had their number all year. They've all been tight games. The biggest thing I see with Minnesota under Dean Evason, they're not afraid to play a matchup game. They're really structured in their own zone, and they play hard. When they get a chance to forecheck, they play hard. There are two things they're going to have to do if they're going to win this series. They're going to have to be much better in faceoffs. They were not particularly good in faceoffs yesterday, and it really cost them. In fact, Golden Knights won 62% of the draws. And the other thing is they're going to have to get their forecheck much more consistent. If they do those two things, they got a legitimate chance to pull an upset.
Pierre, shots on goal certainly favored Vegas. My highlight package had mostly Marc-Andre Fleury. On quality of chances, was it even, or would you actually favor Minnesota?
Well, Minnesota might have had the more quality chances, especially at different times. Ryan Hartman had probably the game of his life. I mean, he had no points in the game, but he had 5 shots on net, and he was hitting everything that moved, and I mean, he just played a fantastic game. He really did. He just couldn't get the puck to go. He's one guy that played tremendously well and with consistency. Kaprizov, I think, can be a lot better. He had one glorious chance in the third period. Marc-Andre Fleury shut the door on him pretty well with a spectacular save moving from his left to his right. But, you know, Sean, the biggest thing is, again, if Minnesota's got to do two things better. And if they do, they've got a legitimate chance to win, and that is be better in faceoff situations and be much harder on the forecheck.
No Max Pacioretty for Vegas. That doesn't help because he had a terrific year. But we saw this from Vegas. And again, it's the first game. I don't want to overread into it, but we saw this from Vegas last year in the playoffs, Pierre, where a ton of shots, ton of zone play, and not a lot of goals at the end of the day. And that was the template for game one yesterday. Same idea, 42 shots and no goal. Should there be concern about their ability to put the puck in the net?
Well, I think I want to be fair when I judge them. I want to see their whole lineup. You know, Pacioretty, when healthy, they were 0-for-3 in the power play yesterday and really didn't create a lot on it. When he's on there, it makes a difference. The one thing that I think drives a lot of offense in the playoffs, and you can see it with the Islanders, you can see it with Pittsburgh, you see it with Boston, you see it with Washington, you definitely saw it with Tampa last night, and Florida even. You have to have center ice thrust. And if you look at, and I say this with all due respect because I think Vegas has a really good team, but if you look at it, Chandler Stephenson's not a number one center. You know, Keegan Kolesar is not a number two or number three center. William Karlsson is not a number one center. So they're doing it by committee down the middle. Nick Roy, depending on how you want to pronounce it, where he is. He's not a number one. So, again, I think a lot of what ails Vegas offensively might be lack of thrust through the middle. But I still think there's a long way to go in this series, a very long way to go.
Yeah, I know Vegas only lost 1-0, Pierre, but would you say historically, whether it's the start of a series, end of a series, suddenly fans back in the building, that teams that come out, especially at home like Vegas, you almost empty the tank in that first period, and traditionally, do you see a lot of them level off and most times end up losing hockey games where that first period, it's like I said, you've just emptied your tanks?
Yeah, I don't know about that one yesterday because I thought Vegas was really consistent the whole way through. I mean, again, Cam Talbot, the thing that he did probably better than I thought he could do is control his rebounds and not give up. Usually Vegas, because they're so big and they go to the net so hard, they create a lot of second and third chances because they forced the goalie into giving up rebounds. They weren't able to do that with Cam Talbot yesterday. So I think that's something that they're going to have to do a better job of. Talking Vegas, is they're going to have to do a better job creating more second and third chances. But I thought that they were pretty darn consistent. I thought those were two good teams yesterday, two very well-coached teams, two teams that really knew what they had to do to win.
Four games, four one-goal games. At no point in any of the four games was there ever a two-goal lead for any team. That goes to show you how these playoffs have kicked off and been very, very close. Tampa, Florida, I mean, can they give us seven games of that pair? Is that possible?
No, probably not. They're going to try, but the physicality will break them down. I watched the whole game when I got back to my room before I had to go to the airport yesterday, and you know, the physicality, I think, is going to wear out a bunch of guys, but that's where I think it probably favors Tampa because they've been through it. And you could see when they fell behind in that game yesterday, after Owen Tippett's goal, you could see this is time to amp it up, and they did. And the power play goal by Point, what a play by Kucherov. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. It's spectacular. And then Point's goal, the game-winning goal, a shot blocked by McDonough, and then the stretch pass by McDonough, and you know, Braden Point's in all alone, and there's nothing Bobrovsky can do there. But what I would say is that I think the difference, if it keeps going like this, will be the overall depth with guys like Blake Coleman, guys like Anthony Cirelli, guys like Yanni Gourde, guys like Ross Colton, Patrick Maroon, Matthew Joseph, those Alex Killorn, just going off the top of my head. You know, there was no Barkley Goodrow yesterday, and so they need that player. But I would just say that, you know, you look at it there, Tampa's tough to play against. Boy, they're tough.
Tampa goes 3-for-4 on the power play. The obvious is, well, stay out of the box, but you're going to have some calls. Anything, any critique on the PK for Florida yesterday?
No, because I say this all the time because I do a lot of Tampa games. When you got Hedman up high running it, or Sergachev, either, or then you have Stamkos, who's a righty on the left-hand shot or left-hand side, and you got Kucherov, who's a left-hand shot on the right-hand side, and you're jamming the net. It doesn't matter who's down low. It could be Killorn, could be Maroon, could be Matthew. It's almost impossible to defend. You saw it. The Kucherov can shoot it. Kucherov can fake the shot and move it to the middle, to the bumper, to Braden Point. Or Kucherov can go back door and move it, to, you know, basically cross box over to Stamkos, and it's a one-timer. So there are one-timers available everywhere. There's creativity available everywhere. It's almost an impossible power play to defend.
Braden Point's breakaway winner was world-class, but on the whole, still five goals on Bobrovsky. They have options. What do you think Florida will do in net for game two?
I wish I knew. I wish I could tell you. I don't
know. What would you do? What would you do, though? Would you bounce back with
honestly,
him?
Honestly, you want to know what I'd do?
Yeah.
Spencer Knight.
Yeah? Even I had a Drieger who had a great year.
Yes.
Is it what, the unknown or what?
Well, that's part of it. And the other part is I think it gives the team a surge. I just think they know this kid's going to be their goalie long term. I'm not afraid of that. I know a lot of people are saying, what are you, crazy? I've been telling you all, what is he, 4-0? I mean, he hadn't even scratched the surface. That's what I do. But they'll probably go with Drieger. I don't know, I would imagine.
Great year for the Panthers, but for people that watched, like myself yesterday, a bit of an awakening or coming out party as to how good this hockey team was. I mean, hey, they pushed pace almost the whole night.
Oh, no, they're a good team. And Joel's a good coach, as you know. Yeah. Joel Quenneville's a really good coach. And he's instituted some philosophies there that I think are really going to play well for them long term. But the acquisition of Sam, the team's just become harder to play against. Sam Bennett's a hard player to play against. Mason Marchment's a hard player to play against. Carter Verhaeghe, Noel Acciari. I mean, you go down there, Mike Hornquist. They got guys that are Lomberg. They're hard guys to play against. And you know, Gudas is not a nice guy in the back end. He's a nasty piece of business. Uyghur's a tough kid. I mean, they got grit, and they're doing this without one of the top defensemen in the league. So you know, again, you look at it, what's going on there. Their future is amazingly bright. It really is.
Game one yesterday, the triple header was the Islanders and the Penguins, and New York wins in overtime. I thought, quite frankly, Pierre, I thought all four of the goals were not great. You know,
stinky.
Are there options for Pittsburgh?
High glove side. Yeah. They know something that maybe the rest of the league should have been finding out.
Is there an option for Pittsburgh, or do they got to roll back with Jerry for game two?
I mean, they could go to Casey DeSmith, I guess, but I think they're probably going to run back with Jari just based on the way it sounded from Mike Sullivan. But you never know. I just, again, you just don't know. The one thing I'd say is for Tristan, you can't get beat short side with regularity, and you can't get beat high glove with regularity. It just, that can't happen in the league. You watched Fleury yesterday. Every single time they try to go high glove on him, he just ripped it out of the air. He didn't just catch it. He ripped it out of the air. I mean, that's a guy that's confident. He's square. He knows exactly. He's baiting guys. He wants them to shoot there. It's almost with Jari. He's like, please don't shoot there. I'm not sure I'm going to catch it.
You made room for Murray to, and you got rid of Fleury. Murray is now gone. Jarry's in there. You talk about it, the highlight pack yesterday. Still fire up the fan base that Marc-Andre Fleury was ever moved from Pittsburgh?
I would imagine. But again, the general manager that did that is no longer there. So you can't blame Hextall and Burke. But I would say that, you know, they probably had second thoughts about it right after it happened. You see the popularity of Marc-Andre, the fact he took them, you know, Vegas right to the Stanley Cup final against Washington in their first year is unbelievable. And he earned every part of that. He did. He was a major. I did so many of their games that year. He was a major part of it. And he's got plenty of game left. He's not going. You see that one save that he made in the third period against Kaprizov. I mean, I don't know how he's at his age is able to be that flexible and that quick and that dynamic. That's after all these years, that's pretty amazing.
The Pittsburgh Penguins are now 1-11 in their last 12 playoff games, which is hard to comprehend when you're talking about having one of the greatest players ever, Sidney Crosby, playing on your team. Evgeny Malkin didn't play yesterday. Again, I don't know what his prognosis is for the series, but if they can't if he can't go, can they win without Evgeny Malkin?
They can. It's not going to be easy. One of the things that has to happen is they've got to get, you know, Bluger. It was great for them to get Tanev back. Brandon Tanev makes a difference. He had 9 hits in that game yesterday. I was studying the sheets last night on the plane. He had 9 hits in that game. So he's an important player in playoff hockey. Kapanen had a goal, which is really important. They got to get Rust and Gensel going offensively. Crosby played, I thought, a really good solid game yesterday. Played almost 26 minutes, if I remember correctly, in that game. So they can do it. They definitely can. They got to get better goaltending. I mean, yesterday, that could have gone either way. If the goaltender had been a little bit better for Pittsburgh, they probably would have won the game.
Cody Ceci, 26 minutes, plus one.
Well.
Yeah, regular season, Pierre, 17 points in 53 games, a plus 18, playing about 18 minutes. Did get out of Toronto and Ottawa and finding a home there. Has he settled in at 25 years old into a pretty good spot?
They simplified everything for him. I think Todd Reardon, the goalie, the assistant coach that runs the defense, has done a really good job there. They've got good mobility around him. He doesn't have to produce points. He just has to stay back, block shots, be a solid defensive defenseman. He's doing that. You know, I think that they play such a good puck possession game more times than not, so they're not defending as much as they are attacking, which is good. He had a very good year. Again, I did a plethora of Penguins games, and I thought Cody was very good.
27 years old, sorry.
Craig Anderson comes out of mothballs pretty much.
That's a hard deal, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Played 4 games. As he said, he was well-rested. Played only 4 games all season, and there he is, front and center. The Craig Anderson we saw in the playoffs a lot for Ottawa over the last 10 years, just real solid, made the saves when necessary. Again, how tough is it going to be for him, Pierre, having not played a lot, if he ends up having to play at least some, if not a lot, of this series?
I think he should be okay as long as his conditioning levels are good. I wouldn't be so concerned about the Washington Capitals goaltending. I'd be more concerned about the Boston Bruins. And if they're not getting play from Taylor Hall and from David Krejci and from Craig Smith, all those guys were -2 in that game, and I watched it just like you guys watched it. If those guys aren't producing offensively and their liabilities defensively, which they were and they were not producing offensively and they were liabilities defensively, that's a major problem for Boston. It's a major, major issue. The reason why they went on that roll at the end of the year is because Taylor Hall, David Krejci, and Craig Smith lit it up, and it took so much pressure off of Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand. If those guys can't get it done, the second line there, this is going to be a very difficult series for Boston to win.
I know it was a short overtime, but shots were 32-26. For Boston, only be limited to 26. Does that type of series favor Washington? And I would assume that certainly works for a 40-year-old Craig Anderson.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point. Yeah. I just totally agree with you. So, and you know that Ovechkin will get better as the series goes along. You just know he will. Again, here's the one thing about Washington that doesn't get enough credit. You've got Nick Backstrom, who's obviously tremendous. You've got Lars Eller, who's been very, very good for them for a long period of time. And Nick Dowd plays on a line with Carl Hagelin and Garnet Hathaway, and they cause so much trouble for the opposition. And the Bruins need to match that, and if they can't, I think that's going to be another piece of, you know, problem for the for the Boston Bruins. So, yeah, no, this is going to be a tough series if that second line for Boston can't get going.
Based on practice, it looks like Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Cole Caulfield will start as scratches in Game 1 for Montreal. What do you make of the decision on having both of them out?
They know their team better than I. I'm going to say it that way. I'm going to try to be diplomatic about it. they have to hope that, Jesperi didn't finish the season very well. I think everybody knows that. Caulfield, there are defensive flaws in his game. There's no question about it. There are issues in his own zone on breakouts. I get that. You know, everybody that watches sees that. But they don't have a lot of guys that can find the back of the net as easily as he can. You give him three chances, one of those pucks is going in. He doesn't need four. He just needs three. And so maybe two of those three are going in. But I don't know. I mean, again, they know their team better than I. This is not going to be an easy series for Montreal.
Look like a lineup that Ducharme is building for a road almost survive in Toronto for games one and two?
It could be. I mean, again, you were going to see early on, the one thing that I think for them, if they don't have a plan for Austin Matthews and Mitchell Marner, then they're going to have a problem. And the one thing, again, with Toronto is they've added so much grit and veteran presence that they're not going to, when things go bad now, they're not going to go in full panic mode. If things go bad, they won't go in full panic mode for sure. Not saying they will, but if things do. And usually there's little stretches over every game in a playoff series where something goes wrong and you got to just get your composure back pretty quick.
Montreal announced last night, I don't know if you heard this news or not, that Carey Price and Brendan Gallagher are going to play down in Laval tonight. Price is going to play half the game. You know, anytime you do that, there is the risk of injury, but do you think that's worth the risk for Montreal? Would you have done that?
I understand what they're doing with Carey. I don't think it's that big a risk. With Brendan, I don't know. Maybe Brendan said to them, I need to play a game before I can play in the NHL in a playoff series. He would know his body better than anybody else, but I think for Carey, it's not a bad thing, unless, you know, again, the concussion's a problem for him. But I can't imagine the doctors there. Dr. Mulder is so protective of the players in Montreal. I can't imagine that they would just allow him to go play if he wasn't fully healthy.
Yeah, I look at the Gallagher injury, and I think he'll be fine. But to your point on Carey Price, do you think this is still very much a test where if you start him in game one, Pierre, and he's not good to go, very deflating for a hockey team. So do you think this is a possibility that maybe he's still not out of the woods? Because if not, I think you'd play him a full game versus a half game. So are they still a little bit leery of the concussion?
Yeah, I don't know the issues. Yeah, and I don't even want to speculate on injury situations. All I know is I know the medical people there, Graham Reinben and Dr. Mulder, really well, and they're very professional people. And I just can't see them putting a player in harm's way.
Yeah.
All right, lastly here in Ottawa, since the last time we talked to you, Pierre Dorion met with the media and announced that Artem Zub was signed to a two-year contract, Pierre, worth $2.5 million per season. The two-year deal means he goes right to unrestricted free agency when it's done. We had a healthy and lively debate about that earlier this morning. What are your thoughts on the term of the deal? Do you think they should have gone longer with him, or do you think 2 years is the right amount?
I think it's probably a good period for them. They've got defensemen filtering through their organization right now. I think they probably want to, you know, see where those guys end up. You know, Zub's a player that had, I thought, a really solid year for that team. You know, there are hiccups, obviously, with every player, and in 2 years he'll be, 27, 28 years of age. So, again, you know, not in the younger part of his career, not in the old part of his career, probably the middle of his career. But I just think that it's probably the most prudent. I don't see that being a big issue.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of it, Pierre, but part of that point, hey, if you can't, the player doesn't want to sign for more 2 years. We debated that part of it. This rationale, though, and this has nothing to do with our debate, but what Pierre Dorion said is, well, we have other players coming. Yeah. We've continued to talk about that they need to add another top four defenseman. To me, I lock this guy down as a top four guy. I don't understand that rationale that in 2 years, when you become a good hockey team, that a guy that came in and played outstanding hockey for you, that this is favorable, that he's going to be an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, maybe they have other plans. Maybe they're looking at acquiring somebody else, you know.
But that can't be realistic, though. Requiring who? I know what you're saying.
Trades happen all the time.
Yeah, but a top four defenseman that you're going to make that contract at the end of the season based on you've got something else going on. I mean, the rationale Pierre Dorion used is that they've got Thompson and JBD, and I just didn't think that was a great way to frame it, that this idea idea, okay, he's okay for 2 years because now we have so many guys coming that are going to take his job. That was more my point.
Yeah, I think, well, no, there's nothing wrong with having that take. The big thing to me is I don't know, again, what the budget he has to work with. I don't know long-term what he's being told. So, I think to prejudge him would be to be unfair, I think.
All right, so what is your, well, you know you're out in Vegas, now you're back home.
Colorado, St. Louis tonight, into Pittsburgh tomorrow for Pittsburgh and Islanders, back for Colorado, St. Louis on Wednesday, Islanders, Pittsburgh on Long Island on Thursday, Colorado, St. Louis Friday, and then into Minnesota for game 4, Minnesota, Vegas.
Okay, all right, so you got games every single night this week?
Every night, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. All right, sounds terrific. Well, it's the best time of year to be in it, and we've got 4 great games to start it off. Hopefully it continues. Thanks for the time, as always.
Awesome.
And grab a good nap today. You got a big game tonight, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Jared. Thanks a lot, Sean. Have a great day, everybody.